Hit that button.
The Built 2 Media Podcast.
Why is the button sticky, Gunner?
I don't know. Good question.
Dude, it's just what I do.
Built 2. Malay, Gunner, Zach, and Ben.
He literally piled it in his hole.
I mean, once you do it the first time, I would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't mine, so.
Oh.
Now from the Liquid Nitro Studios, here's your host, Blake Anderson.
Gunner's locked and loaded.
Gunner Cummings.
I'll be completely honest, we're out of headphones.
Zach Witties.
I bit on that so hard.
Ben Brooks.
They say that they
don't have an hour and a half.
Man is the head of the house, but the woman is the neck. And what turns the head? The neck.
Never heard that.
I haven't either.
Not a good one.
Never heard.
I don't even know what just happened.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's right. That's right.
Hit the button.
Ooh, back for another round of fun.
Got a
guest in here right away, hot on the mic.
Just coming in hot.
I know. We're going to actually do like an intro, like a half-ass intro.
You want me to?
After this music gets done playing.
Yeah.
I think we should.
I agree.
So,
do you want me to like turn my own personal volume up? And then
stand 25 feet away from the microphone so the people that listen to this with earbuds in don't like tip over and have a mild stroke.
You know what's fun about these microphones? They actually have compression in them.
Yeah.
So you can scream as loud as you want.
That's why you're not overpowering to a death type of situation.
Yeah.
I've heard your voice in my ear before.
Well, you're welcome. I've been told that my voice is the love child of Fran Drescher and Bobcat Goldthwait.
You want to do karate in the garage?
Yeah. We just become best friends?
Yes. Favorite magazine.
Favorite. Good housekeeping.
Yes. All right. We're back for another episode. We have a guest in-house today, which I truly love having people in-house at the table. Thanks to Hammond Racing for that. And no Gunner, no Zach. Gunner just got back from vacation, so we let him have a little break ski.
It's calling that a honeymoon of sorts, I would think.
Oh,
maybe.
Was it? Did they do, they did like honeymoon stuff?
Should have asked Girl Blake. She was in the live.
We didn't ask her anything.
No.
It's unfortunate.
That's all right.
I know they ate food.
It probably.
Yeah, I got some food snaps.
Yeah.
Snapchat eats first most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
A lot going on in the racing world.
There is a lot going on.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
Locally, regionally, nationally.
Rice Lakely.
Red Cedar Speedwayly.
Thunder Hill Skis.
Yeah, that too.
And no ice racing, though.
No, there's none that. Whatsoever.
There is that. So before we get too heavy into this deal, I'd like to thank some of our sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
Best part about this episode, it's brought to you by... Eau Claire Diesel. And we have the most perfect.
Oh, yes. Oh, wow.
Have you, our Kyle Johnson guest, have you seen the office where I can't remember his name? Steve
Carell.
Carell does the turbo thing.
No,
but he's not actually doing the turbo thing.
Yeah. I love doing turbo sounds. It's my favorite. Sometimes I'll just be driving to work and I'm like pretending I'm at the pulling track with a nice tractor and
can you make my motorhome sound?
Oh, that was
like
actually
that?
You can actually for real.
Can you, Kyle?
I mean, if you want to. I mean,
I
want to
make my motorhome sound like
motorhomes should sound like motorhomes though, so you don't get annoyed when you drive them a long ways.
That's true.
Because all you hear, like on my Cummins and my Ford. Driving down 94 to work, it's just
that would get annoying.
And it's like, I love it, but turn it off.
Wait, maybe
pass
I just
a Peterbilt that's just like,
half
a mile pipe, before you get to it.
Like Kenny Wall.
Maybe I'll just get a sound effect or something with a
Do it like a Tesla, just put it on your radio.
There you go.
My business partner put a air horn and a blow off valve in a smart car.
That's great.
It was awesome. And the air horn was violently loud.
Kyle, I'm not 100% sure we're going to get a lot of your information out on this episode.
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
hold on. We got to thank some sponsors.
Oh, excuse me.
That was setting up to be pretty good.
I was feeling it for a second.
We
that's
have
why
this,
I went to it.
Have to edit. Non-copyright music we're going to play in the background.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Edit it out and put it in where you want it.
Man.
That was, yeah.
I was ready for that, too. Now that I, like, stopped you, I kind of wanted to hear the rest of it. I'm sorry.
Right. It's all right. It's still there.
I was actually, like, pretty excited when you
did
that.
It's still there. Still there marinating. All right.
Sponsors of this podcast.
Marketing partners of the Built to Media
the
podcast.
The people that help us out.
We love them.
They're great people.
They are great people.
The businesses you need to visit.
No.
Kickass Beef Jerky, QualityFreightRate.com, MBTV Sports, Thunderhill Speedway, SKD Scott King Designs, Jiggy Signs and Graphics, K1 Race Gear by Ryan Bowers, Tarvis Racing, Spot On Credit Card, and the processings and stuff. They do all that. You do that.
Yeah, I do that.
Red Cedar Speedway, Sleep Racing, Hammond Racing, Eau Claire Diesel. You will hear more about that business in just a second. Then we got Peyton Brock Miller Racing.
Oh.
And we have, I can never say his name. We'll get back to that one.
Talking Oakley Schwannis?
No. God dang it. I missed it. I'm sorry.
They're going to ask for a refund now.
Yeah. So, golly.
Give it up.
Yep. Okay, you ready?
Are you ready?
Thank you to all of our sponsors. I will get that last one next week. I forgot to put it down in the text box. So,
are you ready?
Yeah. Ready, set, and.
Ladies and gentlemen, this wheelman has had a career that has garnered national attention throughout his time behind the wheel. He unhails from Black River Falls, Wisconsin. He's piloted fat tires, skinny tires, cars with fenders, cars without fenders. Ladies and gentlemen, in the Built 2 Media Studios, the number zero, the dark horse, Kyle Johnson.
Hey, Kyle.
What's up, buddy?
That was fucking sweet.
I don't know. You got goosebumps? You do. I do, too.
Sweet, dude.
You like? You turned my goosebumps on.
Yes.
My nipples are hard. No. I guarantee my kids are not sleeping.
I even tried to keep my own personal
volume
down.
That was freaking sweet.
That was awesome.
We need more of those intros.
I can do all day.
We need more uncopyrighted music to use.
Yeah. I like this setup, though. Seriously.
For sure.
I really like this setup. We're going to do this for every guest.
Kyle, I really appreciate you bringing us to the Frog Leap Studios.
Hell
because
yeah.
The Dark Horse, your nickname, this is a badass song.
There's no going back.
I don't think we need to do anything else, guys.
No,
you guys
done.
Ready to go?
That was it.
That was Kyle Johnson, everybody.
It's like the fireworks show when boom, whoops, we set off the finale and we're done.
It's like when they blow up everything all at once.
Yeah.
Bang, 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 bang.
Somebody got a little excited with the propane torch.
I'm just letting you know, I'm not really sure where to go from here.
Nowhere to go but up.
Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the Built 2 Media Podcast. Please welcome Kyle Johnson with Eau Claire Diesel and a racing career behind that.
Yes, sir.
God, that did sound really
good. Hey,
Kyle. I'm replaying that in my head.
What you said or what
yeah,
I just
what
said?
What I said.
I thought I was going to get a little credit there for a second.
No, you always get credit, and
thanks.
I'm giving you more. I'll give you more.
Great job.
But I'm replaying that in my
head.
Feels
like you're hitting on me now.
You're welcome. Right. I don't normally do that, like where I replay it in my head and then give myself a compliment.
The
you know
background
what I mean?
Sound.
That made it.
Yeah.
That made it right
We've
there.
Went two it's minutes like, past the intro, and
yeah.
it's still great.
It's like wrestlers when they come walking in. They got their song.
Yeah.
And, it, you know, some of them suck and... Some of them are like, yeah, this guy's going to lay it down.
Yeah.
We just laid it down.
Yeah. I guess so.
Like, we just made Katy Perry's Dark Horse song look silly there for a second.
Yeah.
Because kind of it's actually the real Dark Horse.
It's legit now.
So, first question for you.
He knows where to go with it after talking.
Yeah. First question for you. We're not supposed to ask questions about your ex-wife. Oh, wait. You don't have an ex-wife.
That's right.
Damn, I should have read this before.
Yeah, you probably should have prepared yourself because there's a lot worse to come.
I'm looking at this here, Kyle. What haven't you raced? I see ice racing cars, go-karts, pure stocks, B-mods, USRA late models, horse and buggies,
yeah,
washing machines.
A lot of Amish by me. They taught me a lot about riding horse and buggies.
And washing machines?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
The washing machine does all the work. You just stand there. And Yeah. That was all about my ex-wife. That wasn't with my current wife.
You don't even have an ex-wife. And that's what makes it that much better.
I know. I mean, if you wanted to get serious, I mean, we can talk serious, but that's no fun.
Well,
no. I mean, was there a white sheet next to a mailbox or?
No.
Okay.
Okay. That's good.
It's the Amish country. I didn't know.
No, right. they're all like blacked out. Like I have cameras on my house and my shop. And they come and want me to weld stuff for them, and it's really creepy. Like this tall, all blacked out guy walking up to your place. And it's like, is it going to go down or?
Are we going to get into it here? Yeah.
All I got's a sparkler and a Coors Light.
Yeah, which is plenty.
Yeah, take you down with shoes on. What's up?
Yeah, what's up now? Yeah.
All I got on is my pajamas. But I can light a cigarette.
Well, okay. All I got on is this beard and one nipple.
It's because I'm wearing a cutoff and I'm leaning to the right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so this is sidetracked. What do you got?
So far, we're right on track.
Yeah, so far, we're right on schedule.
Favorite number zero.
Yeah.
So, to go into your background a little bit, Kyle. I mean, we've talked about, you know, you're working owner at Eau Claire Diesel. You got into racing. I didn't realize how strong of a connection you have with the Mater crew, right? With Ron and Corey. Tell us a little bit about working with Ron and Corey. I mean, I know Corey a little bit better than I know Ron. I know them both pretty well. Both kind of mad scientists.
They mildly knows them both.
Yeah.
They're both kind of mad scientists in their own way. You know, like, I know Corey's explained some stuff to me and it's gone 72 miles over my head, but
good Lord.
How was that relationship with you? Like, how did that develop and how is it today?
So it basically developed as, I think my dad and Ron were friends and they used to live out behind the airport in Eau Claire. And we would go out there once in a while and Corey and I would go play like little kids do, and Dad would probably chit chat with Ron, and they'd work on Ron's super stock. And then it got to the point to where Corey got a super stock when we were in high school, and I was like, "Wow, this is cool," you know, and helped him out with that. And then we started building a new house and shop for him when they were going to move out to where they do now, and.
Neighbors.
Yeah, your neighbors, pretty much. It was only like 6 minutes to get here because I was over there earlier welding up his radiator to put it in the race car.
Nice.
That's dude. Pretty, I kind of actually really like that, the whole kids till now, and you came here from his shop.
Yeah, I can remember sitting up in the grandstands like 6, 7 years old next to Corey and Sandy and cheering for his dad and playing with cars on the bench, and when we'd get a frisbee, when they'd throw frisbees up there, we were using those as steering wheels and bumping each other's elbows. And
I love those stories.
Oh God, we need frisbees for Red Cedar Speedway that say "Built to Media Podcast."
Do you have any more stickers?
I don't care. We'll find them. We need frisbees. Thank you.
Yeah.
Carry on.
I'm writing that down.
So then it just developed, and Corey had a go kart track in his backyard when he lived behind the airport, but Sandy wouldn't let Corey and Kyle race each other. It was one at a time.
Boo.
Yeah, boo, Sandy.
Boo.
You don't know what you're missing. So I would bring my go-kart out there, I don't know, a couple times. I went out there with mine and ripped around, and he'd rip around, and it was pretty fun. They've taught me a ton about race cars that I probably would have never learned. Anytime I've had a race car, it's gone to their shop and we've talked about what needs to be done to make it right or, you know, better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always been good. Like they're like a second family to me. If anything happened to my family when I was younger, I'm pretty sure they would have taken me under their wing. No problem.
Well, and to work with those guys, you know, you could take them. I mean, I joked about a washing machine earlier, but I legitimately believe you could take Ron and Corey a washing machine and some wheelbarrow wheels or something, wheel it into their shop, give them 7 hours and access to a laptop in case they might need to find some information somewhere, which I would doubt.
Yeah.
Just they're so stupid smart.
Yeah, there's not one part of that car that doesn't get massaged.
Right, right.
Even when it's a brand new car.
Like, yeah, and for you to be able to have access to that,
yeah,
unmitigated access, yeah. Like, I'm sure they don't hold anything back, you know. Like, some guys, I'm sure, you know, you talk to another racer or whatever, yeah, bring your car over, we'll scale it, whatever, and they give you a kind of a baseline. I imagine that does not happen when you take a car there. They get you set up and ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel bad because I've always been like a low dollar team, and Corey actually gave me the nickname Junkyard Johnson because I would literally take everything he would give me. And like my first B mod, I used a cookie sheet that was in the scrap barrel for a fuel door flap. And he's like, "What are you doing with that, Johnson?" And I'm like, "That's a fuel door flap." He's like, "Whatever, man. Whatever you need," and he would give me parts, and you know, I'm forever grateful for those people.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
That's really cool to be able to have that type of relationship. And I, you know, I've got a similar one, and you know, I can speak from personal experience there that yeah, it is second to none. You know, and be able to have a second family like that is amazing. Going down this list that you gave us here, the next thing is ice racing. You raced a Dodge Omni.
1986 Dodge Omni was my bullet.
Sick.
Wow.
We had four or five of them.
Were they that good?
I mean, I thought they were. I mean, we won races with them. And, you know, I think it was me. I had one. And Travis Hazelton had one. And maybe John Hazelton had one. But, yeah, I mean, they did me well. I mean, I would have raced a tricycle with a V8 on it, for Christ's sake. Yeah. I mean, it don't matter. I mean, you tell me, hey, you're going to race this. No problem. We'll get her done.
Imagine I'm just picturing a trike, like a little tricycle with a V8 on it.
Oh, I'm sure there's one.
Ron and Corey, and you could figure that out. There's not a doubt in my mind. Yeah. Not a doubt in my mind.
They were good little cars. I mean, you could rev the piss out of them, and they wouldn't blow up, and they just run good, easy to work on.
Ice racing was the first sort of racing that you did then?
Yeah, ice racing was the first racing I did. I think my dad was running the series when I was like 10, and he would let me screw around with the car after the races were over. And then one year him and some other people got together and like, let's have a kids race, you know, we'll get the kids involved. And I won that. I actually lapped everybody. And he's like, holy shit, maybe I should get them around with the adults.
Yeah.
So I did. And we did good. And we pissed people off.
Yeah.
Because there was some people out there that knew that I was a kid. And they thought that they could push me around and bully me and get me scared. And I wasn't. I gave it right back to them. And there's a video of one of the races. And Kevin Knutson, he just passed away not too long ago. And he's on there. And he was standing on dad's flatbed truck with my dad, and a guy popped me and shoved me out of the way. And the next corner, I popped him right back. And you can hear Kevin laughing so hard over all of those race cars. I'll never forget that. He's just like, he did exactly what you told him to do. It's like, well, yeah, what 12-year-old kid's going to listen to his dad? He's like,
oh, yeah.
Don't take no shit from nobody. If they rub you, rub them back. And it made people mad because they thought that I was out of control and didn't know what I was doing. And I totally did.
Sure. Like,
I might have been a little bit rougher than I should have been.
Well, you were 12.
I was setting a statement that
Right. You
race me the way I'm going to race you. If you pass me like that, you're going to get passed like that. And they actually made a rule the next year that you couldn't race unless you had a driver's license.
Call that the Kyle Johnson rule.
Yeah, and I actually, when we went to the rules meeting and that was brought up, I actually started crying because I thought I wasn't going to get to race.
Wow.
But they grandfathered me into that rule and allowed me to, and I think I was 14 or 15 at that time.
They always do it when you're doing really good and you're just like almost ready.
Right.
I hate that.
Yeah.
They did that with carts too.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can't move up to a 500cc wing cart until you're 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like,
Yeah. Why? The other really cool story about ice racing when I was 13 or 12, somewhere in there, and we went up to Rice Lake for, and we didn't know it. It was a mid-season championship. So they lined the feature up by points. And there's like 22 cars. Started last, and next thing you know, the leader's right there. And white flag's right there. It's like, I'm going to get this guy. And I lost to him by like a fender.
Oh.
But irregardless, right. You know, it was the beginning of my racing career, and my dad was so pumped up about that, and people were coming down to the trailer and telling my dad, hey, good job. It's nice to meet you guys, you know. I wasn't driving. He was. How the hell old is he? 13. Oh, holy man. Shit.
Dang. That's first time at Rice Lake.
Yeah, first time up there. Never been there before.
Good Larry.
Wow. Wow.
Missed it by a fender.
By a fender.
And it lived with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I still have that trophy.
Good.
I was like, I could have made you a little bit taller. Yeah.
So then at when you said you went to go race, bring your go-kart over to Corey's, I assume it was just a yard cart.
Yeah,
then?
Yeah, yard cart. And then we did get a racing cart that we did go to Thunder Hill, and I couldn't race it the first time we showed up.
Why? Age?
No, it didn't have the right sidebars on it.
Oh,
and I cried. I'm a crier.
God dang.
I remember Roger coming up to me, and he knew what was going to happen. Like, I've been wanting this for my whole life. Like, I want this go-kart. I want to go race it. And he come up to me, and he says, sorry, buddy. You don't have the right door bars on here. I can't let you run. And I'm just like, damn it. I knew it. I knew something was going to happen. He was either going to rain or something with the cart wasn't going to be legal. So then we, I think, had Kevin Knutson build us some side bumpers for it and made it legal, and came back and ran it the next week. And we ran the novice class and got our ass kicked. And Dad's like, oh boy, this is going to cost money. So he's like, screw this. Took the restrictor plate out and bumped me up to junior one. He's like, don't say nothing. And I think I finished like mid-pack. And it, like, you know, people got their shit figured out, go-karts. Yeah. I mean, we went out there with probably bound up bearings and, you know, stock-ass motor.
Yep.
Which ain't going to cut it. And it was fun, but we only did that a couple times. And then the next part of the story is I come walking home from my buddies or school or something, and there's this 1964 Galaxy sitting in the driveway.
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah. And I didn't think nothing of it, really, because Dad had another 64 in the shop, and I figured, oh, he probably found a motor that matched the black car in the shop or whatever, and he's going to use parts. Sit down at dinner, and it was kind of quiet. I can remember what we had. We had beef stroganoff. I don't know why I remember that, but
it's a fun example.
Beef stroganoff. And my dad's like, you know that car sitting out there, kid? I'm like, yeah, what are you going to do, derby it or what? He's like, that's your race car. And I'm like, I was really excited. And then I'm like, wait a second, that thing's huge. I don't know if you guys know how big those cars
are.
They're
like 21 feet long.
Yeah, they're 119-inch wheelbase.
Yeah.
And they weigh like 4,200 pounds.
Yeah.
And it had a 289 in it, you know, a little tiny motor. And I'm like, all right, whatever, I'll drive it. You know, I'm excited. So we got that roll cage put in it. I think Bob Seidler put the roll cage in it. And it freaking rained out like 4 or 5 weeks in a row at Eagle Valley.
Oh, my gosh.
I was just like, what the hell? Is this not meant to be or what?
Is that like 2006?
Three? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that season.
Baby blue. Number 20 junior, yeah.
Now I remember the car. As soon as you said baby blue with 20 junior, yeah, now I remember the car.
Yeah. It was a boat.
I don't.
I went across the scales because I was like, I got to see how much it weighs.
Well, sure.
3,850 pounds.
Oh.
Stock, they come, I think, 4,250 or something like that. And they are like 21 like feet, 6 inches long.
It was heavier than hell.
It's insane.
No power steering either. He said,
what?
Nope. you got a big ass steering wheel like a school bus.
Oh yeah.
And Dad said, "Well, I never race with power steering. That just, you know, robs horsepower." And I'm like, "Okay, well, little ass kid out there fucking trying to drive a school bus around the track.
Where you just run, get sideways, they can't pass you. You block the whole track."
He's not wrong.
I couldn't get it sideways. It didn't have enough power.
Well, suppose running a 21-inch steering wheel or something like that, just reefing on it.
Yeah, how was the car? Tight?
Yeah, it was all, the whole time. It literally tight. Was always tight. Yeah. And we found out right away that that class was just like go-karts. You know, you got to spend some money to be competitive.
Oh, yeah.
So then the next year, we had Larry at Powerline Performance go through the motor, and that woke her up. She went from a mid-pack car to right up in front, and we actually won the first heat race out with it once we got the motor done and led quite a bit of the feature. And then the late race caution and got lined back up, and car got tight and got passed and ended up third, and then leader got DQ'd, got second.
I totally remember that car.
Yeah.
Justin Supri.
Yep.
I used to help him.
Yeah, he passed me, so I ended up third, and he ended up winning because the first place guy got DQ'd for illegal springs or something.
Totally remember all that.
Yeah.
I literally just watched that race.
Yeah.
You did?
Well, in my head.
Oh.
Yeah. I was there. I remember the baby blue car because I strictly remember how big it was compared to like
everybody else.
85 Monte Carlo, yeah. You know?
It's a tank.
I'm wrenching on Nesbitt's car at that point, and all of a sudden my back is turned because, you know, where they line up there where Tom always parked, my back is turned to the cars lining up, and all of a sudden I hear two people going, "Holy fuck, is that a 64 Galaxy?" And I whip around and I look back, see Tom's talking to, he's talking to Pete Parker, and those two were swapping stories back and forth about how good that those cars have the ability to be.
Yeah.
And they both agreed that they were going to run pure stocks. They were going to run the 64 Ford Galaxy. So it's funny how you bring that back. Like, you start talking about stuff and, you know, out of the blue, like, Blake, you could ask me, "Do you remember Kyle Johnson's first car?" But nope. But as we're talking about it, I can remember that.
I remember Kyle Johnson's first car.
Now. Yeah, now I do, for sure.
It was definitely a cool car, you know, like, everybody knew who it was.
Oh, yeah.
So, same time, this is off subject in a sense, but same time period, it was at Jim Falls. There was a guy that had an 86 Monte Carlo, and it was like a dark blue. And he had lead filled all the door jams and custom painted the car. It's probably one of the nicest cars at Jim Falls in the pure stock class. Do you remember that car?
No, I don't remember that car.
It was full bodied yet, but he filled all the jams with lead.
I think it might have been a Simoniac.
That sounds right.
Yeah, yeah. Nate is either Nate or his brother.
He first started.
Yeah.
Nate.
Yeah.
And that car was show Nate, quality, take it to the car show.
Nate always had really nice looking cars.
Sorry. Off subject.
No.
Carry on.
Nice car.
So do we just go to 2006 with the Midwest Mod now?
I want to hear this story because I just read through it again. And I'm reading what that car was.
Yeah.
And in my head when I read it again, what? What?
Another hermaphrodite, yeah. It was an old Cobra car that Ron Schreiner used to race. And when I bought it in 2006, I think it was like 20 or 22 years old. And it had super long three-link rods, like four times longer than they should be. And the J-bar connected from the gears over to the right side of the chassis.
That's weird.
Yeah. And I'm not, to this day, I don't know why. Maybe it's like an asphalt thing. I don't know. Maybe Nick would know.
I could ask him.
Yeah. But that car, when it got black slick, it would lock down and go. When it was tacky and bumpy, it was a bitch to drive.
That must have been a Cobra Dave, Ron Schreiner hybrid type deal. Because I can remember back in the day at Marshfield and Colby seeing them old Cobras, you know, and like Eric Pember would show up with a new Cobra. It's like everybody else is competing for second.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. When the track would get locked down, well, slick, the car would just lock right down and you could go like a son of a bitch
it would
in
just
those things.
Be straight and go.
Yeah.
And I brought that out to Corey's. And that was right when they had their new shop and house and everything. And he's just like scratching his head. And he's like, what the hell, Johnson? Like, can't you find anything a little bit newer? I'm like, well, it's good enough to get seat time, ain't it? He's like, yeah, I guess. Well, let's change this and try this and do that. And we set her up and it drove pretty good when it slicked off. But like I said, it wouldn't compete with the four bar cars. Back then, the B mods were four bars.
Yeah.
It was right when the class came out. It was like a year or two into it. And I'd get my ass kicked in the heat. And I didn't have a big motor. It was just a 289. I think it was the same motor out of the pure stock, actually. And when it slicked off, though, we gave them fits. I mean, I remember battling with Buzzy Adams and in a B-mod with an old freaking car, you know. And he'd get me in. Shane Halupka, he'd get me in. I'd finish, you know, top five, fourth, fifth. You know, and that's like a win to me.
I remember you throwing a couple sliders at them boys, too.
Yeah.
I was on the call from one of them.
Sliders.
Yeah.
It was, like you were going into one, and it was a feature race, but it was earlier in the night, because I remember anybody drives at Eagle Valley, you know, driving out of turn two when the sun's going down, it's like driving straight into the sun.
Yeah.
I can remember that. You came in one, and you hit your diamond, you hit your mark, and you slid Buzzy. And I was, of course, jabbering on the microphone like it was my last ever race because I just thought it was so cool that young buck like yourself, low-dollar team, so to speak, and had, I didn't know at the time, but had, you know, 18, 17 Cobra, you know. And then, yeah, I saw you trade sliders, I believe, to Shane, which, yeah, that was on the slick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that you could get away with that. You could do that in that car. Yeah. I guess you proved yourself right. You got some good chair time out of the deal anyway.
Yeah, and Shane and Buzzy both always raced me good, and it was a lot of fun. And everybody in that class back then actually raced really well. Like, you didn't have a whole lot of issues. Like, you had Mark Girth, you had Mark Hansen and Jesse Glenns, and oh, God, there's just everybody. Super I was in there, too, and we all raced good, Brad Hudson. And
well, the competition level, I mean, even though you had those names, I mean, just the competition alone, it didn't matter if they had that name or whatever.
Yeah.
Everyone in that class, it didn't matter how many started in a heat.
Yeah.
I remember some 12-car heats, some 14-car heats. Like, it was like a feature every time you hit the track. It just didn't matter, you know, like, depending on how many laps. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was... Just to be up in the top five, regardless of the night, it was pretty crazy.
Oh, for sure.
So is that what led Daryl to giving you a phone call then?
Yeah. So I think it was Pumpkin Race down at the Tri-Oval when it was a Tri-Oval at Fountain City. We went down there and...
Do you remember what year that switched?
Seven, eight.
Seven you have on here anyway.
Yeah, it was seven because I was leading in Daryl's car and I drifted off the fucking backstretch and seen the goddamn grader back there. I'm like, oh my God. Just dragged the brake and stayed on the gas, and Mark Hansen got by me and beat me, but I almost got him back at the end. But yeah, anyways, we were running the Tri-Oval down there in 06. And Daryl had, I don't know if Daryl had bought Thatcher's red car that year or if it was the year when I drove for him. But irregardless, he had a really nice J car. And he called me up Christmas Eve that year. And he's like, what are you doing next year? Well, I don't know. He's like, well, I got another car. I'm like, yeah, what? You know, what do you want to do? He's like, well, you bring your motor and tranny over and drive line and we'll put it in the Cobra. Sure. You know, I'll do that. That's cool. So we tore it all down in Powder Plus shop there that Bob Wood owned.
Bob.
Yeah. And he powder coated it for us. And it was like that Mountain Dew color there with sparkles in it. It was just pretty.
It was really pretty car.
I felt bad. Like, I didn't even want to drive it. It looked so nice. But we put it together, and that thing was fast. right out of the box. Like, we struggled the first night out, which, you know, I kind of always expect the first night to not be real good because you're trying to figure out brakes and throttle response and binds and shit, yeah. Which, you know, back then we didn't put the cars in dynamic attitude like we do now before we even get to the track. Like, you just put them together and race them, you know.
Yeah.
Wheels look straight.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Runner.
Yep.
So then we ran that and did really good. I think I finished like second probably 7 times that year. Wow. It was either Hlupka or somebody else would just get me. It's like, damn it. When's it coming? When's it coming? And Daryl kept telling me, it's coming. It's coming. And it's just, it never did that year, but it did later on in my career. But yeah, that was a fun year. I mean, we went up to Eagle River and ran, and we were leading that heat race, and the gears broke, and put the Menominee gears in, which Eagle River fits probably inside of Menominee.
Easily.
Is that small?
Yeah.
Yeah, Eagle River could fit inside this room.
It's small.
Okay. Well, it's not big.
The only thing that's saved that night is we had a Ford transmission automatic in there, and I was shifting it. I was coming out of the corner in low gear, and then I'd shift it into second, and it'd just go, because we had, like, I don't know, 600s in, and we needed, like, 650s or 68s.
That's a heavy one.
Yeah.
650s for sure, anyway.
Literally, yeah. And physically.
Yeah.
And we third or fourth that night, and then Daryl actually sold that J car to somebody up there that night, and that was a cool deal. And
I like what you have written here. It was a fun night. The morning sure sucked. Dot, 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 dot. Liquor.
Yeah.
Dot, 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 dot.
It was a rough night. We were staying at that guy's resort that bought that car from Daryl, and I just remember drinking a beer, and all of a sudden the sun started coming up. I'm like, there's a goddamn lake out there. Didn't even know it. Like, didn't even know it. And there it is. I'm like, holy shit, I'm drunk. And it was a long-ass ride home. Luckily, Daryl's much better at drinking than I am, because I would have never made it home. I just laid under the table in the old cube van and just, oh, my God, are we there yet? Nope.
Probably the most Wisconsin line I've ever heard. Good thing he's better at drinking than I am, because he drove all the way home.
God, he's so good at drinking.
Yeah, he is.
He's, like, really good at drinking.
He's my hero.
Mine too. I just sent him a picture of you, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. He's my hero.
He was really good to me.
You know, Daryl is, you know, that's the thing about guys like Daryl, and Daryl specifically, right? Yeah, I raced out of Daryl's shop when I had my super stock, and we, yeah, had a lot of fun, learned a lot. Daryl didn't have to do any of that. You know, I didn't know him at all, really. Mm-hmm. And met him in 02. You know, something like that. And I told him I was moving over this way to go to school. And he goes, you're moving above my bar. What? You're moving above my bar, period. Okay. So I lived above times too. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Daryl took me under his wing, you under his wing. He's done that for many, many, many people. And, you know, a real true friend of the sport.
Even bought a sweatshirt from me.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh,
Blake Union. Anderson shirt.
Nice. I don't have it. Union merchandise.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
On to the next one.
Dirt Dueler.
Dirt Dueler.
Yeah. I remember Willie Little's B-Mod.
Black and white.
Yeah.
Just plain, simple.
Mm-hmm.
But it looked good.
Yeah, it did. Number 11, right?
Zero.
Oh, you were able to change it?
Zero.
Zero.
Okay. Because he was real particular about his numbers.
No, I think Tom Stiding drove it, and the year before I did, it was 7.
Okay.
And then I'm like, what are you doing with that car? And he's like, I don't know. Motor blew up or something. And I'm like, well, I got a motor. You want to race it? Sure. Jeez. So he's like, bring her over. And we put her in there and ran it. And that was a good car. It took me a little bit to get used to it. But once I did, it was really good. I remember racing the Punky Manor, and Mark Thomas was leading, and it was so dry slick, like the camera, the recording of the video, it was just like glass, the sunlight on the black dirt. It was like glass. And I was like, that car just turned and went good.
That was the night you almost died.
That was. Yeah, Fountain City. Yeah, we were running really good down there. Probably going to be our last race of the year. And we parked next to Dualman. And I was kind of picking his brain about what to do to the car because the track was a little different than what I was used to running. So that was right around the time where they were changing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got really banked and really fast. And he told me a couple things. And I'm like, all right, well, can I borrow your tire groover? Sure. I roll my tire over there. And he had glasses on. And he kind of looks at me like above the glasses.
I can see the look.
And he's like, you're going to cut that? I'm like, well, yeah. He's like, okay, here you go. And I cut it, and you could see the freaking white wiring of the tire when I got done cutting it. And we were running right in the front. It was Justin Strand was leading. Andy Jones was chasing him, and I was in third. And Brandon Davis was in fourth, and Brandon was points chasing and junked us.
Oh.
And
come on.
He left pretty fast because I didn't even get a chance to get back to the trailer and go talk to him, and his shit was loaded and gone. But that's what points do to you, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just keep trying and trying and trying.
And then we
push him out of the way.
Dad's like, well, we ain't fixing this fucker for tomorrow, so I'm going to head home. I'm like, well, I'm drinking. And I went over to Daryl's camper, and John Callis was there, and I think Jumbeck was there, and Daryl and Angie. And, yeah, we stayed up drinking and having a good time and sharing stories and laughing. And, well, 3-4 o'clock in the morning, I was like, damn, about time to go to bed. And all of a sudden when we wake up, I don't feel very good. Daryl's like, I don't feel good either. I didn't even drink that much. And the next thing you know, there's a bee-doo, bee-doo, bee-doo. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Daryl's laying outside face down in the grass, and someone called 911 because they thought he was having a heart attack. Well, he had carbon monoxide poisoning because the heater tube that exhausts the heat.
On the camper.
Yeah, it was plugged up from nest or something.
Good thing you waited till 4 in the morning to go to bed.
If we went to bed earlier, that's why I say drinking saved my life. You know, there's not many times it does.
Yeah.
But that time it did.
Oh, man. Because
if we would have been to bed at 10, 11, 12, we would have been dead. Because when we get to the hospital, they're like, holy shit, you know, your blood carbon monoxide levels, like, I think he had like 22 and I had like 21%. Oh. And 23 is like, you're going to be done.
Yeah, Angie's was like 22.8 or something. And
jeez.
Yeah, I've heard this story many times over. It's not a good deal.
No, it was not fun. It was the worst hangover headache I've ever had.
Check your pipes.
And all I wanted was grape juice.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I was so thirsty for grape juice. And I'm like, lady's like, can I get you anything? I'm like, grape juice? You got grape juice? Yeah, I'll get you some grape juice.
Oh, nice.
Like, we're going to wash your clothes, too, because you ain't wearing those when you leave, because you could have, like, a
residual effect. Yeah.
Yeah, and you couldn't go by, like, campfires or, you know, you had to stay in well-oxygenated area, otherwise you could relapse.
Holy macaroni.
Yeah.
It was bad.
That affected...
now, that's a party.
I know that affected that affected Daryl for a good 2 months after.
Yeah, for sure.
Could
me,
you
too.
Freaking I think so. Imagine, though? Waking up in the morning, like, what the hell did we drink? All of a sudden, Daryl just poof.
Yeah.
Oh, he's wasted. You know what I mean?
Yeah, scary deal.
It was.
It is. Yeah.
Scary deal.
That was expensive, too.
Oh, I bet.
It was like $2,000 for the ambulance ride to Winona. They probably didn't even turn the siren on.
Probably jerks. Not. And it's the roughest damn ride.
Yeah, I don't even remember it, so it doesn't really matter, but.
Well, I broke my leg right out here in the front yard, and I was like, well, how much does this ambulance cost to go to Eau Claire? They're like, well, it's probably going to end up being around $5,000.
Just get the helicopter.
I'm like, you probably could have used one of my vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot more comfortable.
I took a helicopter ride once.
How was it?
I woke up one time in the middle of it. I asked the flight nurse what was on his face. And he said, I'm wearing a helmet and he hit the button, and I went,
bye.
And then I woke up a little bit later, and then all I remember is looking at him going, why are you wearing a helmet? Did you fall down? And he started laughing at me, and then he hit the button again, and I went to sleep.
I wish I had that button.
Yeah, that was a $50,000 helicopter.
Yeah, they're not cheap.
Yeah.
What?
500,000
There's got to be a cheaper way to fly.
That's first class right there.
When we were at the hospital, I'm bitching them because they're calling for the helicopter. What had happened was I was a passenger in a car accident, and my arm got stuck underneath a Ford Explorer Sport Track. Fire department shows up, and they all knew it was me because they could hear my voice. Apparently, my voice is distinctive or something.
Yeah, no one's ever said that.
Yeah, who knew?
Ever.
Ever. So I'm like, boys, if you get this thing off, get this truck off my arm, I think I can move it. And they're like, the fire chief is right there, and another one of my guys, who was Butch Coomer's pit man at the time. And they're like, no, you can't move. You can't move. And I'm like, really? I can't move? And I'm shaking my head around and stuff. I'm like, I'm fine. My arm is just caught underneath this deal. So I finally convinced him to pick it up. And they picked it up, and I couldn't move my arm. And I'm like, oh, no. So then we get to the hospital in Medford, right? I'm laying there, and they're calling for the helicopter. I'm going, no helicopter, no helicopter. I'm like screaming this, no helicopter. And a buddy of mine who was a year ahead of me in school is a paramedic. He just, his head comes over the top of the gurney. He looks at me and goes, hey, Ben. I'm like, hi, Jeff. How's it going? He goes, I'm good. How would you like to keep your arm? I said, well, that'd be kind of neat. He goes, you're getting a fucking helicopter ride. No, shut up. Oh, off I went.
Good to see you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. Hit the button.
Yeah. And off, yeah.
Bye.
Bye. What it was. Bye.
Good morning, Vietnam.
So let's get back to our subject at hand here, this wonderful human.
ADD.
Right.
Yeah.
You think we should take a break and maybe talk about Eau Claire Diesel for a second?
We could, but I was just going to ask about Kyle Johnson getting to live his dream in 2011.
So before that, for the listeners, let's talk just a hair about Eau Claire Diesel.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, do it.
Sponsor of this episode.
It is.
Brought to you by Kyle Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, tell us a little bit about Eau Claire Diesel.
Eau Claire Diesel is the best diesel shop in the area.
I mean, the country.
Pretty much. I mean, we've been around since 1978, and we take pride in the stuff we do. Like, we don't just fix it and take your money. We fix it right for longevity of the vehicle or the equipment. And we specialize in injection pump and injector repairs and rebuilds, turbos. We can rebuild those, rebalance them, starter alternator rebuilding.
I wonder where you learned that from.
Actually, it wasn't the Maters.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no, it was there. I learned it there.
Wow.
I learned it at Eau Claire Diesel from a guy named Tim McGinnis.
Was that the guy in the trench coat?
Or the... No, they all wear trench coats. Just, I don't know what the deal is with that, but I guess just to keep like fluid off of your clothes. So they wear like the trench coats. But yeah, Toddy. He wears those. Casey, my new guy, Casey, well, he's not new. He's a couple years there, but he don't even wear uniforms. He's like, I don't like them. Like, all right. Well, you do good work, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, we fix a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm welding things for people. I just did a agitator stand for a friend of mine, Jason. He's got a pond at his property, and there's a big blower motor that bolts to it, and it agitates the water and keeps the muck from growing on the bottom. And, you know, I get a lot of gas vehicles. A lot of the diesel customers come in and like our work. And next thing you know, I'm fixing a Subaru or a wood chipper truck with a gas motor in it. And I mean, it's endless. I mean, we fix everything.
You specialize in like light duty diesel though.
Yeah,
you don't tackle semis or anything like
No semis, motorhomes. You know, we can't really get them in the shop. I've always wanted to like expand and do that, but where the building is, it's just not going to happen.
You're wedged.
Yeah,
where your building is.
Yeah,
no room.
So it's you know, it's in the radar of finding something and then growing it that way, because there's definitely a need for it. I get calls every day. Truck's broke down. Need a tow. Can't help you. Call this place, you know. And but luckily, you know, the ag side with tractors and equipment, we're just swamped with pumps and injector repairs and turbos. I mean, there was one week I had 12 turbos. Oh, geez. And it was just grind, get through them, grind, get through them. And now it's all pumps and injectors because everybody's firing up their tractors and like, oh, this thing don't run very good.
Yeah.
Better take the old Claire diesel.
Your Snapchats are hilarious about your work stuff, by the way. Yeah,
there's some good ones. Yeah. There's some bad ones too, because it's just like, come on, man. Like, pump don't run on water. It's all rust inside, and they wonder why it don't work. And it's like, man, maybe some additive would help.
Yeah.
Here's a free bottle because I don't want you. What
kind of additive do you recommend running?
I've been selling a lot of Hot Shot stuff.
You recommend that for any diesel?
Yeah. It's formulated for anything new, anything old. It's just a good product that's not full of crap. Like, you go to their website and you can get everything that's in that bottle. You can read about it. You know, in other places, it's like you don't know what you're putting in. They just say to put it in. And they're like the only company that I know that says right on the bottle, if you don't think this actually helped you prevent, you know, an issue, we'll give you your money back. And nobody's asked for their money back.
Yeah.
So it's working.
Busy business, great business. They've helped me as well. They've helped Ben. I mean, you guys are pretty bomb down there.
Mm-hmm. That's what we like to hear. You know,
yeah.
We all just want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Like this day and age, people don't care about their name and they don't care. You know, Monday through Friday, they're just getting that paycheck. That's not us.
Yeah.
We're there doing the best we can every single day.
And if
we make a mistake, it's probably because we don't feel good or we're going through a divorce.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not because we don't give a shit, because we do.
Yeah.
More or less for the returning customer too.
Exactly. Like, you go and look at the reviews and the only bad review on there is a guy that doesn't know how to rate. He thought a 1-star was really good. And it says on there that, yep, dropped my pump off, picked it up the next day, didn't even have to go inside. Awesome service. 1-star. Thanks, bud.
Yeah. Whoops.
And the other guy that gave me a bad review, he applied and I didn't think he was a very good candidate, so I didn't really interview him, and he gave me a 1-star. So then I knew somebody that knew him and I said, talk to this guy. This is bullshit. Like, you don't give somebody a bad review just because you didn't get a job interview. And the next day I had a 3 instead of a 1. So those are the only two bad ones.
Yeah. That's pretty good business. Well, we appreciate you helping us out on the podcast. And
oh, yeah.
Obviously, coming on the podcast because you do have a racing background as well. So
yeah, it's awesome.
Let's jump back in your career.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go back 12 years, 2011.
Yeah.
You are at Cedar Lake Speedway watching the 55 ride. Out making some laps.
Watching and wrenching, thrashing. Yeah.
About 8:45 p.m. rolls around. Practice is done at 9.
Done at 9.
Take it from there.
Corey went out and we did some good adjustments on the car and he was really happy with it. And actually, I think that was the year he won the USA Nationals. Probably. Probably after that test session, maybe. I don't know.
You were his good luck charm.
I don't know. Must have been. Anyway, he comes in the pits, and I'm getting the trailer ready to load up and go home. And I kind of told him, you know, it'd be really cool to drive a late model. All of a sudden, he says, Johnson, get over here. I'm like, oh, shit, what happened, you know? Get in. You got 5 minutes to get out on the track before practice is done. I'm like, oh, boy. Talk about, like, getting thrown to the wolves. Like, I wasn't ready for this. Like, we didn't even talk about... Yeah, if anything goes good, I'll let you drive, you know. That wasn't the conversation going to the track, you know. We just went and did my thing and get in. All right, hop in there and take off. Go out on the track and clean the tires off. And I remember hitting the throttle, and every time I think about it, it just makes the hair stand up on my back. And just, wah! She just rips, and it's like, holy shit, this thing's got some power. I'm going to have to be careful with this, you know. And... the hardest thing wasn't the throttle, it was the steering. Like, I don't know if Daryl's car or what other cars I drove didn't have like super quick steering boxes in them, but a late model was like twice as fast as what I was used to. So I was kind of like twitchy at first for like a lap or two. And I'm like, oh man, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And then all of a sudden it just clicked. And all of a sudden, I don't know if the tires warmed up or what the deal was, but then I was just like, boom, 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 laps, laps, laps. And just the car never sat down. It just rolled over and sat good and hooked up good. And track wasn't rubbered up. It was dry slick because I couldn't even get into the four barrel. As soon as I did, that fucker just, boom, kicked sideways. I'm like, okay, now I understand the whole restrictor plate BS that everybody always talked about on the big series. And I come in and I remember Jimmy Mars was standing there and he goes, yeah, I thought the way you took off on that racetrack, we were going to be putting a rear clip on that thing tonight. But apparently you've driven a four bar car before. You look pretty good. And I was like, holy shit, Jimmy, thanks. You know, like, yeah, I have, but nothing like this. And I'll never forget that. That was just the best thing that probably has ever happened to me is hop in a late model and just go have fun. Because it's like, there's a lot of money in that thing. And
yep,
a lot of people can't just hop in one and not put it in the wall.
And the way the opportunity came about, it was kind of like super unexpected.
Wild.
Yeah.
Which makes it way like, more worth it.
Way better.
Yeah. I had bruises on my body from the seat and everything. Because I wasn't used to it and it didn't really fit me good, but I'd do it over.
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I don't know if Ron and Sandy ever did know about that, but they will now. Because I'm pretty sure Corey didn't own the car then.
So, Ron, Sandy, if you're listening.
It kind of happened.
Ron, Sandy, yeah. If you're listening, thank you.
Yeah.
I didn't wreck anything.
Yeah, didn't wreck a damn thing on that deal. Now, let's fast forward two more years. When I said in your introduction that your career has garnered national attention to this is what I was referring. Octane Academy.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that. Chat us up.
Now, Octane Academy was a TV show that was about trying to find like the next superstar driver or whatever. And I seen it on a commercial watching TV at my dad's house. And I'm like, I should apply for that. And so the first season, I didn't get on it. They had like a video submission popularity vote thing. And I'm just not about hounding people for votes and, you know, whatever. And that's all that was. So I didn't get on it the first season. But the second season, they had like two tryouts.
Excuse me.
One was in New Jersey and one was in California at the California Speedway. And I talked to Dana, my wife, and which was my girlfriend at the time, and my sister. And they're like, yeah, you should really do that. Like, I hadn't raced anything since 2009. So I was kind of getting to that point to where like I didn't believe in myself anymore. I didn't know if I had it anymore, but I wanted to, just couldn't afford it. Right. And nothing was, you know, no opportunities were coming at local levels and whatever. And so I talked to my sister and my wife, and she's just like, let's just make a vacation. Go out there, try out, do it. We'll just check out California and hang out and have fun. So I did. We booked a flight and went out to California, and they had my wife and my mother-in-law went and did their own thing, and I went to the racetrack and stood in line with 300-400 guys and girls and did a little interview kind of like we're doing now with the camera right in your face, and they're asking you all these questions, and you're like trying to be yourself but trying to like make yourself better than the next guy kind of thing. And then you would do a road course. They had cones out in the parking lot, and you went around there, and I did that. And then if you did good in the interview and you did good driving that car, they'd let you drift the Mustang. Well, there was only, I don't know, I seen the Mustang move like four times throughout the day, and then I got up. I was probably like, I got a picture of me somewhere with my number, but it was like halfway through the line, and I'm like, Jesus, what's it take to get in the Mustang, you know?
Right.
And next thing you know, my number, Mustang. I'm like, sweet. Hop in the Mustang. The guy tells you what to do. He wants you to drift around a circle, basically, in control to the left, and then drift the other way to the right, which feels really weird to a dirt guy to go to the right. Just weird. Like, yeah. You're so used to turning left and sliding, and the car's tipped over, and you know, you feel that, and you're like, oh, that's comfortable. And then you do it to the right, and it's like, whoa, that's weird. Same concept, it's just different feeling.
Backwards.
Yeah. So he gave me some tips on, you know, what to do, and then we did like a figure eight drift. And then I asked him to, you know, if you were to rate me on how I drifted, what would you rate me? And he's like, 8 out of 10. I'm like, what? Yeah, 8 out of 10. You did really good. I'm like, cool. You know, so my chances are good to make the show, you know? And so I went back to work, and next thing you know, my phone's ringing, and I'm like, shit, should I answer this? Because I'm actually working right now. Oh, fuck it. It's from, yep. This is Kristen Berry from Octane Academy. We want to interview you for potentially being on the show. And I'm like, no fucking way. Like, I'm on. She's like, well, not yet. We got to do a background check and whatever. So I'm like, all right. So then they send you all this paperwork. And I tell you what, you want to see a lawyer write some paperwork about a TV show. Holy shit.
Like, the whole book they sent you?
Yeah. It was probably 40 pages long. 20 at most. Yeah, at the minimum. And me and my wife were reading it, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I want to do this. Like, they can make you to whatever they want you to be on the show with the words you used. So they could, like, cut it apart like you guys do with your podcasts. Yep. And make me say something that I never even said.
Oh, jeez.
Because they own you.
Yeah.
And then you can't tell anybody anything about the show while you're on the show. Because if any of that gets leaked out, you're going to get sued. And then it's like super intimidating. I was like, I don't know. And my sister and my wife's like, you have to. You're already this far. If you don't do this, you're never going to forgive yourself. And I'm like, all right, I'll do it.
Which is true.
Yeah. I'm so glad I did. It was the best time of my life. Like, I flew out to California. And some backstory about me that people probably don't know, because I try to be funny and have fun and, you know, do funny videos and whatever, but I have bad anxiety. Like, up to that point, I couldn't hardly go out to eat dinner with my wife just because I'd get so worked up. But she, you know, helped me through that because she's in that field and taught me breathing exercises and how to control my mind. And actually going to Cedar Lake with Corey and Ron and Sandy, it's like, here I am riding in the truck going to do something I love, and I'm having anxiety and a panic attack, and because I'm not driving the truck, you know?
Yeah.
Just dumb. So going to California.
I feel that. I feel that.
Going to California on an airplane by myself, not knowing anybody.
Yep.
2,000 miles away from home was like the hardest thing I could have made myself do. But that's the story of everybody's life, is like, you have to face your fears. Like, you have to do the things that make you uncomfortable because there's something rewarding at the end. Mm-hmm. So I went and did it, and they did like a draft. So Tanner Faust, Vaughn Gittin Jr., Ken Block, and Brian Deegan were like the coaches or teams. And they watched you drive and they talked to you. And if they liked you, they would pick you. So we did the whole tryout thing in front of them. And then they went into a room and picked their drivers. They picked 4 or 5. And there's a video on YouTube. You can watch all these on YouTube. If you look up Octane Academy, you can watch the whole season 1, and I was on season 2, and there's a draft video, and everybody picked their first driver, And on the second round, I was in everybody's hand. Everybody had me as their second pick. And it was like, holy shit. Like, I impressed.
That's pretty awesome.
I impressed all of them, not just one.
That's amazing.
All of them. And I'm like, damn.
You're talking about some big names.
Yeah. Too. Serious big names. And I was just like, holy shit. And of course, at the time, I didn't know that, you know. So then they pick us, and we're standing out in the cold, which it's not cold in California, but it was cold. And they're picking people, and I'm like, geez, you know, did I not do good? Like,
yeah.
Tanner picked me last, and Tanner was the last guy to pick. So, like, I was almost the last person to be picked on this show. And then it kind of made me, like, think, like, geez, what did I do wrong, you know? But afterwards, when I got home and watched the draft and realized that I'd impressed them all, then I was like, oh, okay, I don't feel so bad. So then we did driving tests and stuff. And one of the tests was to throw the car just completely backwards and then save it. And, I mean, that's the weirdest thing to do. Like,
yeah,
a front-wheel drive car doesn't react like a normal person thinks.
Right.
So like when you rip the e-brake, the back end comes around really quick, and then all you do is just stand on the gas and the front end snaps back forwards. Like, you don't even have to steer. But a lot of people are like steering it and jerking it, and Tanner told you what to do, and he told you what was going to happen. And I don't know, I think Tanner really liked me because I didn't think I knew everything. Like, I was there to enjoy the experience and learn. And he could sense that. And the other guys are like, oh, I know how to do this, you know, and they sucked. And it was just an experience that is always going to be there with me. Like, I'll never forget it. And so I transferred through the draft, they called it. And then I was on Tanner's team for the next episode, which I ended up flying out to California like 3 times to do the show. And we drove inside an airplane hangar, which was like, the floor was like your desk, just slick. And I'm like, well, this is my wheelhouse. You know, this is ice racing right here. And I got second fastest lap in the warehouse. And then we went to the outdoor track, which was Irwindale Speedway.
Oh, that would be sweet.
And I had just a perfect first lap. Couldn't have asked it to be any better. And the second lap, I'm like, what can I do better and make it faster? Well, I tried to like heel toe brake, and I shouldn't have done it because those cars didn't have the room to do it. And my foot kind of got hung up, so I couldn't push the brake real good. And I overshot one corner.
Yep.
And apparently that was all it took to, you know, not make it to the finals.
Damn it.
And it's just like today, till this day, that haunts me, that stupid mistake cost me. But I was the most consistent driver in the whole freaking thing. And then I come home and I thought about it more, and I'm like, it's TV.
Yeah.
It wasn't because I wasn't the best driver. It was because I was quiet and just drove.
Yeah.
And they wanted a show.
Yeah.
So they never do say what my time was in the end of that show. But Tanner says, your first lap was by far the fastest first lap. And the smallest mistake put you off on the second one. So if my lap was by far the fastest first lap, how did a small mistake on the second one take me out?
TV.
Yeah, TV.
That's still ratings. A badass experience.
So. Yeah. And so, like, if you won that whole deal, you got 50 grand from the show, and then Ford would give you a vehicle up to 50,000. And then the guy that actually won it, Burt Jenner, he ended up racing, like, off-road trucks a little bit, and then Lamborghinis and stuff on the circuit. And so he ended up doing something with it. Yeah, it was a pretty cool deal. But yeah,
it's been pretty awesome. That'd put you in a whole different world.
Yeah, it was, you know, everywhere you went, people looked at you like, I know you from TV or something. And it's like, yeah. And then some people don't even know. Like, there's tons of people that don't even know that I was on there and did it. And But now they do.
Yeah. Yeah, now they're gonna.
Hell yeah.
And
well, just to be driving with those names. I mean, right. Obviously, I don't know the, what was the one? Vaughn?
Vaughn Gittin Jr.
I don't know him.
Professional drifter for Mustang, Monster Energy, RTR. I don't know if he's
running. I probably watched his videos.
Yeah.
But Brian Deegan, for sure.
Yeah.
Tanner, obviously. Yeah. Late Ken Block now.
Yeah.
But
they were all really great people.
Like, yeah.
Totally down to earth, just like us. Having a conversation right now.
Yeah.
Just cool.
Could have been on some Hoonigan videos.
Yeah. You could have. Yeah. I don't know. Like, maybe I should have tried to pursue, you know, connections with one of them more to get something more out of it. But in the end of the day, I didn't want to be that person that hounded somebody and got something. I wanted to be the person that earned it.
Right.
And
which is understandable.
Honestly, it lit a fire under my ass to come back home and race. Yeah. Cause I didn't have a car. I didn't have a truck. I didn't have a trailer, but when I got back, I bought a race car.
Yeah.
I didn't have a motor. I took money out of the bank and went to Rick Carker and I said, build me a B mod motor. And I bought a car from Chad Kallenbach that was a Schwartz chassis that nobody else had. Ford front clip, and brought that out to Corey's.
What?
That was a Willie
again?
Littles car, too.
Hold on. Ford front clip?
Yes.
Wow.
It was a one-off that Audie Schwartz and some other guy from Tomahawk Race Cars or something put together for Willie. And Tony Barr drove that car.
Okay.
It was a real long red car.
Yep.
And Kevin Knutson cut it and made it shorter because it was too long. It was like 100, I don't remember, 112, 110.
Jeez, damn near as long as the freaking Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah. So Tony's like, you gotta do something. This thing's too long. So Kevin cut it, and I don't know the whole story why that car never really took off. Probably just because it was so one-off and far out that it was going to require a lot of sit-down thinking and refabbing it to get it to work right. But that's what I love, so...
Oh, yeah.
I bought it and went out to Corey's and said, let's fix this bitch. and we did. And he gave me some parts off his old late model because that's basically what a Ford front end is.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? We went out and we won my first feature race in a B-Mod.
You finally got that first W.
No truck, no trailer, no shop. And did it.
How'd you do that? What are the logistics behind that? Whose truck did you use?
So the logistics behind it was... Jason Kramer, my buddy, they call him Taco. He's always been there to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, we'll just use my truck. I'm like, okay. Well, I got to find a trailer. So I talked to Randy Kuhnert that owns Red Zone Sports Bar. And I said, well, you got a big shop that he used to own a mechanic shop. And I'm like, what if we do something where we put Red Zone across the whole side of the car? Like the whole thing. And I work on my car in your shop and borrow your trailer. Sure.
I can see Randy just going, yeah.
Yeah. So Randy had cleaned the shop up for me to work on the car there and use the trailer. And Jason hauled me around and made everybody happy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a cool thing. Like everybody had a part of that team. So like everybody wanted to help.
Right.
And it worked. Just off of pure, like, we're going to do this. Like, everybody's like, oh, I don't have I don't have enough money to race. How do you afford to race? Well, you freaking do everything you can in your power, and you don't necessarily have the best of the best, but every now and then it works out.
Yeah.
And in that year, it did. And I'll never forget that, and I'll be forever grateful for all those people that put a hand into that because that's a cool story in its own.
Yeah, it is. You, then you decided to go fender racing.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Close the front tires.
They're harder to work on until I figured out that, oh, there's only four bolts that hold the front end on. You take the nose off.
Yeah.
Then it's like, this is a modified now.
Mm-hmm.
No, those. So I traded my car to Jeff Provenzino that had a car up there, and I went up there and picked it up because my wife's family lives up there, and I stopped in there and checked it out, and yeah, that's pretty nice. Brought it home and put it together, and same motor that I had in my B mod, and we ran it a few times, and then the season ended. We didn't get to run it too much, and I was having problems with the belt stain on the pulleys. I don't know if it's just bad belts or what, but we finally figured it out, and they stayed on. I just couldn't finish a race. And then the next year, it blew up like five nights in. Just shit the rods right out of it. Just all over. It's like, damn it. I'm done. Like, I can't buy another motor. Like, I got a kid coming, you know. And Jeremy Wendt had bought another car, or a car from Provenzino, and he's like, well, why don't you come help me put mine together? I'm like, sure, let's do it. I'm like, let me run it a few times first because I want to make sure it turns and goes around the track.
Right.
I don't want to just help you and then you put it in the wall and we're done, you know. Well, that turned into, well, you're going to drive it because the second night out in that thing, we finished second at Cedar Lake where the big race was. He's like, yep, you're going to drive it. All right, no problem.
Just stumbled into a car owner.
Pretty much, yeah. And then he sold that one to Langer, and then he bought another one from Jeff, and that one we ended up winning two features in 2019, I believe. Yeah. And we won at Menominee when they
18,
had
18, what you have on your sheet.
Yeah, I think I screwed up. I was looking at pictures, and it's like, I raced Jeremy's first car in 18, and then 19 is when we won two races, but... Yeah, we won Red Cedar, which I almost pissed that one away. Barry Johnson spun out on the last lap, and I was gone by like half a track. And ooh. I looked up in the stand or in the pits, and Corey's, you know, giving me the big sign and, you know, arc the corner, don't pinch it off. Well, fuck, I completely missed the corner entry on the restart, and Sean Mandrel right underneath me, and I'm like, oh my God, this can't be the way it's going to be. Like,
right.
I just led the whole race by a mile. And he was tight, like all night he was tight. And I remember like trying to hold him down into three and he got by me. And I'm like, fuck, I just lost this race, you know. And he went into turn one and pushed right to the freaking wall. And I drove right back underneath him. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. And Jeremy was like, what the hell was that? I'm like, dude, I don't know.
A gift?
Yeah, it was a gift.
I made it work,
yeah. He's like, oh, you just wanted to make it interesting. I'm like, no, I would have rather have won by a whole track. Not,
yeah, right.
Not
yeah.
like that. And then we won at Fountain City running the cushion. That was a hell of a race. I think Sammy was leading that one for a while. And at one point, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get him. Like, he's just running a good line right through the middle. And finally, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. And that's I true. Went in there as hard as I could, and the thing just went whoop and stuck. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I got you now, buddy.
That's a great feeling.
It's the best feeling.
Yeah, it is.
I always love running the top just because of that. But sometimes it's just not there.
Yeah, you talk about anxiety. When your mind tells you that you're going to throw it in there wide open.
Yeah. Like,
my wife, until it sticks.
My wife's like, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, it's easy. She said, what do you mean it's easy? I'm like, you're only 6 inches away from the wall. It doesn't hurt as bad when you yep. hit it from six yep. inches away than it does 6 feet away or 16 feet away.
Yep. Damn right.
And there is, you know, now that I've watched NASCAR enough, there's some aerodynamics that go on.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where that the body kind of, if you're close enough to the wall, you can feel it.
Like, it's almost like push a cushion.
Back. Yeah. yeah. It's like the wall has that air pocket, and then the tire has the tacky dirt.
Yep.
And it's just like the perfect scenario. It's just like, I love that.
Yep.
And that's actually how I won the B mod, right up next to the wall.
That's freaking awesome. That's good stuff.
Right I like there. That. Yeah. Somebody had bored during COVID the way it looks.
Yeah.
Oh, it's totally true, though.
Yeah.
You ever watch the body panels?
No, it is true.
Yeah. It's
100% true. I remember watching, well, when everything was shut down or shutting down, you know, except for a couple of racetracks or whatever, I remember watching your build on your go-kart track in your backyard.
Yeah.
the finesse and just the design of what you did there, I mean, it's astounding. It really is.
Yeah, it started off as a cornfield. And that year, Mikan and Blaine Iverson got wing carts to run Thunder Hill and in Fountain City and whatever. And we didn't know if we were going to get to race or anything. So
yep. We were actually building a go-kart track away from the go-kart track at Thunder Hill at the same time.
Yeah, just because you're like, well, screw it. Like, you still got to do this. This is what we love.
Yep.
So I was looking at my truck. I'm like, I had a few Coors Lights. Went out there and just, we got a track. And then I took the skid steer out there and flattened it out. And I said, Tony, bring the carts over next weekend. Brought them over. And every single year, it's gotten a little better to where now it's like a full-fledged racetrack with clay on it, pit stalls. Oh, we got little light boxes that are remote controlled that we can turn yellow and red lights on if something happens. And the Beer 100's turned out to be like a event that everybody wants to come and be a part of it, or at least watch.
That's awesome.
And it's just fun because it's a group of friends that like to race, but we're not like serious. Mm-hmm. Like, we're drinking beer and having fun with our buddies.
It's not serious until the helmet goes on.
Not even then. Like, we're all laughing.
Yeah.
You know, if you flip me over, I'm going to be pissed off. Yeah. There's been a guy that did that, and he's no longer there. Like, he's banned. Not coming back. And it's something about everybody's cousin. No cousins are allowed. Like,
oh no.
Somebody invited their cousin, and he was the one that flipped me over. And then last year, there was a problem with a guy with somebody's cousin. So no cousins.
No cousins at the Beer 100.
No cousins.
Cousin-free zone.
But yeah, it's a good time. And we've got a road course track that a friend built after he came over and ran my track. And, oh, this is fun. You know, I got some land. Why don't I build a road course track? And that's fun. Dirt, and it goes up a hill and down a hill.
Oh, fun.
It's a blast. And then there's another one in Black River. There's one over here. Ezekiel has one. And
I know Ezekiel.
Yep, he built one. And he comes down and runs our races. And Tyler Lamb and Matt Klukas. And it's just a good time.
Yeah.
Dang.
Met a lot of new friends doing that. Like, that track is really, like, opened me up to, like, oh, there's people like me around here that I didn't even know, you know? Like in Black River, and when I moved down there, I was like, I don't know anybody. And it's like, my neighbor races, but that's about all I know, you know? And then I built that track, and all of a sudden, I got 10 more friends.
Yeah.
And they're good friends. They don't just come over and use me to use my track. They'll bring fuel, they'll bring beer, they'll bring money to help keep it going. So it's like, yeah, you're cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just like, oh, that guy's got a track. Let's go over there and rip around. Thanks, bye. You know,
yeah.
Screw you. It costs money.
Yeah.
So aside from being the owner, promoter, CEO, chairman, and founder of Dark Horse Speedway, what's on your agenda for 2024?
Well, I got two girls. One's 4 and one's 2.
That's busy.
There's 4 go-karts in my garage right now.
That's perfect.
One's mine. One's my wife's, and the 2 other ones are for my kids. Aria has already steered her cart with me pushing her with mine, so I believe she's about ready for an engine.
Oh, yeah.
So she's got an engine on hers. I made the header pipe for it here a couple of weeks ago, and it's a 3-horse with the limited throttle, so it's not like she's going to go out there and get hurt or nothing, because my first experience on a go-kart was no brakes, no throttle, wide open into a tree.
Oh, that's fun.
Governor went wide open.
Wow.
That's pretty awesome.
So we're not going to do that with Aria. We're going to do it the right way. She's going to know how to use the brakes before she knows how to use the gas.
Stop, go.
Yeah.
Green pedal, red pedal. And
Bristol's already interested in it, but she's just too little. She's 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
So you're going to have some up-and-coming actual racers then? Or
I think we will. And I've already talked to Dana about it, and she's willing to put the money in as much as I am to put the money in and the work if they want to do it.
Yep.
Like, I'm not going to be that dad that lives through my kids.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of those that, oh, my kid's the best driver ever. It's because it's your kid.
Yeah.
Like, don't put that pressure on them. Like, let them be a kid. Let them figure out what they like and then support them.
Yep.
So that's my goal. Like, if they want to race or if they want to help me race, you know, work on my car. If they don't want to race, I'm going to race.
Right.
That's the deal. Like, if they don't want to race, I'm going to race.
Understandable.
So we'll see what happens. She seems to be interested in fixing things. Like the other night, she's like, Dad, I want to go out in the shop and fix with you. I'm like, that's awesome.
That's great. Yeah.
4-year-old girl wants to go out in the garage and fix with Dad. Absolutely. Let's go.
Yep. Yeah.
So there's interest there. And she's ready.
I think we should flop some. I think 2-minute questions would be pretty good time with Kyle.
Have at her.
We got about 5 minutes left here. So.
Oh, wow. We did good then.
Get it well, going.
Close. We're at 125, so.
Oh, sorry.
We can.
Going to have a lot of editing to do.
Oh, no.
No.
This'll... I mean, we could just, you know, do a little bit of this. Dude, that was the greatest intro ever. No, oh. I can't go any louder than that.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for the world of famous 2-minute question session with the Dark Horse, Kyle Johnson.
All right, Kyle. I can't ask you any beer questions because we already figured out what you like.
Actually, I'd drink anything.
Like Boone's Farm? Or?
I don't always drink Coors Light, but it's my go-to.
All right, best whiskey.
Oh, best whiskey. Whiskey sours. I don't know what they put in them, though. Like, there's all kinds of whiskey. Whiskey. What the hell?
Old Crow.
I can't even think of a whiskey name.
Jim Beam?
Early Times?
Jack Daniels?
Actually, I do like Jack Daniels.
Oh, there you go.
Jack and Cokes.
Okay, Jack Daniels it is. What do you got?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Thank you.
I know you've already built your own racetrack, but I like the built to question of racetracks. So build me your racetrack. So it could be, I'm sure you've heard this before, but MTS Grandstands, Eagle Valley Racetrack, Cedar Lake Pit Area.
This is an easy one because I already told Tyrone we both invested in Dogecoin. And I said, when that Dogecoin hits, I'm going to put a goddamn dome over the racetrack so we can race every freaking weekend.
Yep.
Don't have to worry about rain. Don't have to worry about snow. We can just race. So my racetrack would be a dome, but it wouldn't be like St. Louis dome small. It would be a big dome and seating all the way around it. Good ventilation. Lots
stadium
of lights.
Style.
Yeah. And just, you don't have to run every weekend the whole year, but you know we wouldn't have weather to worry about.
Right.
That's always like a kicker. Like any racer's like, oh, 50% chance of rain tonight. Yeah. Do we go or do we stay? And then you try to watch the predictive thing and then one goddamn cloud comes over and ruins your night.
Yep. After you decided to
After
go.
You're there and yep. unloaded and paid and
sunshine in.
So that would be my track. No worry about weather.
So like an MTS with a dome.
Oh, for sure.
All right. That'd actually be pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
I like the stadium style too.
Yeah.
You ever see the Australian racetrack down mm-hmm. there? It's like a paperclip, but total stadium.
Yeah. Coliseum style.
Yeah. Love that place.
Coliseum style. I like
okay,
it.
Okay, I said stadium. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine.
Go ahead.
Do you have a favorite line from a movie? Something that you just quote
yeah.
all the time?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, moving on. I'm kidding.
You just asked me if I had a quote, and I said, yeah, I do.
What is your quote?
My favorite quote is the, put special staggered tires on. You can pass on the outside of turn 4.
That is a great, great line.
What do you mean I can pass? You told me not to. Well, now I'm telling you can.
If you go to the outside cold, you can hold it.
Yep.
Well, here comes the car, Harry. I trust your judgment. Here we go.
A little bit of thunder.
Yeah.
Here it comes, baby.
Oh, Harry put match special tires on the car. What was so special about him, Harry Hogg? Well, nothing. Yeah. What?
I do like bubbles on Trailer Park Boys though too, because
goddamn kitties.
Goddamn kitties smell like kittens, not kitties. Careful, Ricky. If that cocksucker blows, we're gonna look like the blue headed fucks who beat the drums.
I don't think I've heard one closer.
I got a Snapchat. They actually have bubbles on Snapchat.
Shut up, really?
I was doing them, and people were just laughing because it kind of sounded like them a little bit.
A little.
Go for that Sam Squinch. By the looks of it's 8 fucking footer.
Oh, what was that? I can't think of the exact words, but there's one where he's bitching about revving the shit out of his go-kart or something.
No brake burns, Ricky. Oh, Christ, he's going to blow the engine.
Tire's all fucked up.
Tire's all fucked up.
That's fucked up. This is fucked up.
Cocksuckers.
Cocksuckers. Fuck off with the fireworks.
This is a good goddamn kitty right here.
Good goddamn kitty right here.
I fucking love when he makes a sandwich with the little tiny mini hands and he's flipping the ham over and spreading the mustard with the baby hands.
What about the spaceship ones? Does a tin man have a sheet metal cock? Yeah, that's a good one.
Ben's
there's a few good ones there.
Oh, shit. All right, final question. Kyle, what are you built to do?
I'm built to repair. I'm good at fixing stuff. Like, I see something and I just fix it, make it better. If it's not up to my standards, I try and make it better, or just in general, fix things that aren't working correctly and do the best I can.
That's a good one.
I like that.
And I've definitely, over this past week, experienced that.
For sure. Yeah, and everybody gets the same treatment. It's not like I'm just picking and choosing. Like, anybody that calls, I'm going to give you 100% of my attention to what your problem is, and we're going to either figure it out or fix it. There's no other option, really.
Well, once again, it's been an honor having you on. Everybody listening, please check out Eau Claire Diesel. Kyle, thanks for coming on and spending some time with us.
Yeah, thank you. It's been fun.
Ben?
Hi.
Until next time.
Bye.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
Thanks.
Now, as always, that was anticlimactic. You got something to say? Hit up the Built to Media podcast and let them know. Like, comment, and share on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and at built2media.com. Thank you, Built to Media sponsors. QualityFreightRate.com, Liquid Nitro Energy Drink, SKD, Scott King Designs, Thunderhill Speedway, Kick Ass Beef Jerky, Jiggy Signs, Harvest Racing, K1 Race Gear by Ryan Bowers, Spot On, Point of Sale System Credit Card Processing, and PrettyPolishJunkie.com. Get your Built to Media podcast fix.
Get everything you want and get everything you need
at Built2Media.com.
Except for the t-shirts.
Figure it out.
Be back next week for another exciting Built to Media podcast.
The Built to Media podcast.